area entities including the Portsmouth Department, a lot of index unpacking on the bill. And they will, of course, be reporting to the Portfolio Committee in due course. But just in my opinion, let me tell you that Industrial 4.0 is actually here. I said hello to a couple of cobots. They asked me to send their greetings back. But the reality is they are here. And we're just going to pick up the slack and do what we did with the cell phone or the telephone communication, where everyone was saying, start digging trenches, start doing this, start doing that, and you know, they'll lay this out. And what did Africa do? It leapfrogged into the cell phone era. And today, Africa has the most cell phones internationally. And I believe we have the capacity to do the same thing in what we call the Fourth Industrial Revolution, what in Germany they're calling Industrial 4.0, but more appropriately calling the Economic Industrial Revolution, because it's broader than just industry. Well, having said that, it was clear that you didn't rest on your laurels. You worked extremely hard. Thank you very much to all members of the committee left behind. And in particular to the subcommittee chair, the Honourable Lerato Tiepo. And as you can see, we welcome officially full-time what we've been asking for since the first parliament was sworn in. I guess all good things come to those who wait. So we welcome the Honourable Becky Hadebe, and he can run because he was the whip in the previous term. So he's fully familiar with the bills on the table. Looking at what we have here, it is my intention to try and close at 1300 because I believe we will start sharp at 1400. Am I right? Yes. So we will endeavour to do that. And I was going to suggest again catch-up time on tea. The reality is we won't be catching up time on tea break. We will have a mini tea break, but probably closer to 12, you know, 5 to 12, just for 5, 10 minutes comfort break. On that note, please, can we have someone to propose the adoption of the agenda? Thank you very, very much, Honourable McLaughlin. And seconded by, yes, we're trying to shift on parties here from the Honourable Anton. I always remember your first name, Elvin. Thank you. The apologies we have, starting with the committee first, Mr. Medima.
Good morning. We have three apologies. Ms. Salini on medical, Ms. McPherson on family responsibility, and the last one is JSA in Holden.
No, Chair, we are all here.
You're all here. Thank you very much, Dr. Masoccia. Good to know everyone's here. I know that everyone's all in here looking at the test, and very
important. Oh, and also to acknowledge the Department of Arts and Culture. They're here with us as well.
Thank you very much for bringing them along. We were inviting members of the Arts and Culture Portfolio Committee. Did you extend an invitation, Mr. Medima? Did you extend an invitation? We can't hear.
No.
Please remember we work jointly when they can join us. Extend the invitation. If they can't, they will let us know. But let it not be because we didn't invite them. Thank you. Right, we now come to business, substantive business of the day. Report back by the subcommittee on the Copyright Amendment Bill. And we'll be asking the Honourable Tierko to come in with that. But also, I haven't got the time to read out everything, but of course, as you speak, I will acknowledge you. It's Advocate Van der Merwe here. And you had a little birthday jib while I was away, was it? Right. Hope you enjoyed it. Right, you go ahead.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the PC. The PC, the subcommittee on copyright last week on the 2nd of May met. We have a fruitful meeting. We tasked the department together with the legal advocate to go and consolidate the report as it is on the table. Then so much has been done, but we have also seen that the Department of Arts and Culture should be brought on board. Then we have requested the minister, we spoke to the minister, then the minister delegated officials to be part of the subcommittee. So we just have to know it will be on the full-time basis until the bill is completed. So share with those ways, there is a report in front of you where we dealt with clauses from clause 2 to clause 11. The first one, the issues, question was raised, why copyright does not stop system computer programs. Then we had the responses from the department, as it indicates there. The department responded that the interference are made available for free, and accordingly it cannot be made subject to copyright. Further explain that the interference are not intervention. They are rather reforming of already existing programs, therefore cannot be treated as original works. As a committee, we have agreed, we took a decision as a subcommittee, and to say we will come and that the introduction of the circuit must be read as part of the speech. Advocate will assist me if I've left something. If you see that there's something that should come on board, you'll indicate by the show of hand. I'll be looking at you now and then, which then makes it clear that only interface specific issues are excluded, as it explained there. Honorable Advocate.
Thank you, Jay. Just to add to that, good morning, members, those that I haven't greeted yet. Accordingly, because of that and the acceptance that if you read the introductory sentence of paragraph B, there's no amendment necessary to the bill on the specific clause, it is dealt with sufficiently.
Thanks. Then clause 2 for is the clarity was sought on the remedial action when a person is most quoted. And then the response from the department that a person who feels strongly that they may have been misquoted should direct the concern to the relevant bodies. For example, if a person has been misquoted in the newspaper, the relevant body in the press ombudsman, that is happening. There's nothing changed there. So there was a decision as a PC that we should refer to the main act that it is in the act. Clause 3, section 5, on this clause, the department in the past indicated that funded by must be removed. Then the department highlighted that this clause was highly contested during the public hearing processes and confirmed that the clause must be removed. So the subcommittee unanimously agreed that the whole clause be removed and that section 5 of the principal act should be retained. Advocate.
Thank you, Jay. So the concern on this one was that in the original bill, the word funded by was added. Now this section 5 deals with copyright that belongs to the state. So the addition of the word funded by means that things, research papers, things that would develop because of incentives, all of those will belong to the state. And that is why it was so contentious. So by removing the clause, the present situation will remain. So it will only be where it was under the direction of the state that copyright will belong to the state. So the present, current situation remains if this clause is removed.
Please can the staff ensure that all members have got the document? This is the bill. I'm not going to have a debate.
Clause 5, section 6A, section 6, capital letter A. The concerns in this clause relate to the word transfer and have, and the concern is in respect of the contractual freedom. So the department responded that transfer, the department explained that the right of the author relates to royalty stops when that the moment a person handed over the copyright to his or her work, the right is gone. Because of this, similarly anomaly in this case, according to the department proposal, that there is a need to relook at the term transfer. Transfer should be relooked at and at the contractual freedom. Yeah. Then advocate, you should explain, and this issue of 50-50 split was explained. The committee here on the transfer, the subcommittee decided that the department would propose another term or wording to be used. We requested the department to come with their, because the term suggests that the person gives away his or all his or his right, therefore will not claim on the work after they have transferred it. That's what the subcommittee said. And the issue of 50-50 also, to say the committee agreed that this concern must be referred to the expert, because there are experts that we appointed. So this is where they come in, so that there's no conflict of the Act and the Constitution. So I think the agreement we agreed based on those two, to say the legal expert must come on board and advise the subcommittee according to section.
Thank you. So the concern that I pointed out was that if we use a different word from the word transfer, that word is currently used in the Act when we talk about the copyright going over from the author to the new owner. Now, if we use a different word, it means that we are not talking to those transfers. So you just get a mismatch. So the agreement was that between myself and the department, we'll look at a couple of options. There are options that we can propose to the committee. In respect of the 50% split, the contractual freedom issue, what the subcommittee in the end agreed, it was proposed by the department and the subcommittee agreed with this, is that we should initially look at contractual freedom. So there should be a contract. That should be the first thing. And in fact, the subcommittee indicated that there should be a template for this contract. Whether this template will form part of the bill or will simply be something that the committee wants to look at and say, yes, this is the template that you want. So it could be prescribed. In other words, it could be in regulations, probably a better fit if it needs to change the regulations. It's an easier and faster way to deal with it. But there needs to be something that is prescribed so that it's a uniform template for this agreement. But you're still worried about this because even a template for an agreement might end up in the author getting 1%. So how do we deal with that? And that is what the subcommittee grappled with and why we said we need to bring in the experts. Because if we say, if you can't agree in this agreement on percentages, then it is 50-50, it sounds like a good flag. But if you put it into practice, what if the big company then says, well, you know, I want to give you 1%. The fact that we can't agree, now I'm giving you 50%. No, I'm rather walking away from this agreement. So we're not really protecting them. And because of that thing that we grappled with, we said we need the experts to come and help us a bit so that we can, because they will have that knowledge about how it works in practice, what the law says, and maybe give us a better solution to this problem that we're grappling with. Because we want to acknowledge contractual freedom, but we also want to give them the protection. So just to help to marry those two. And then also the subcommittee was also saying, even if we look at the 50-50, who gets this money, what is the value chain, and how is this distributed? Because that will also give us a better idea of what we're dealing with. So those were the decisions of the subcommittee and the one.
Yes, I must say I'm pleased that you will be getting an expert's opinion on here on this in some time, because this is one of the critical issues that this bill addresses, that we want it to address our people.
Clause 7, section 7, letter B. There was a concern here whether the reserve right was not suppressing contractual freedom. And the department proposed that the right should not be regarding all artistic works, but only visual arts such as paintings and sculptures. Then advocate alerted the subcommittee to the fact that the clause according to the bill is not retrospective. Remember, the bill is when if it comes into place, or we are going to retrospective it from the backward, we don't know. So that one also it needs legal aspect, and the operational of the bill. There's a bill that is there, but it's not operational. So pending that also, we need to know whether how do we make sure that the bill is operational, the indigenous one. So, Chair, I think here that's what we can discuss.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, on that, the issue of the retrospectivity, if I can maybe just put members in the picture. If the bill goes through as it is now, there is a risk that courts, when they have to enforce this, will say, no, because we can't, unless legislation indicates that it applied before it came into operation, we can only apply it going forward. Now, the risk is, we understand that that would be in respect of the resale. That I think we find it. I don't know, there is the option if we go retrospective to also include the resale, but I think that might be a bit problematic. But let's say we're accepting that it is the resales in the future. But what if the courts exclude works made before this bill came into operation, or where the author sold that copyright before this bill came into operation? Because those are actually the examples that members have been giving. So we were discussing if we have to make it part of the fact of a painting, for instance, if we take the Mona Lisa,
yeah.
Was created far in the past, it's still being sold. You know, so do we want to then say, oh well, you know, it was created in the past, it wasn't, this retail world might won't apply to it. The Mona Lisa itself is way too far in the past, but it's just to give us that example. So it is something to think about. So both the department and myself have been tasked to look at whether we could make it this retrospective. There's a couple of options when we look at retrospectivity, and those options, of course, we need to keep in mind the impact, because members might recall from the National Credit Amendment Bill, retrospectivity in itself is not unconstitutional. It is the impact that might be unconstitutional. So we need to just be careful and look at that impact. So in other words, if you're depriving someone from their rights because of the retrospectivity, you need to make sure that deprivation is allowed by the Constitution. So that is something that we, the department and myself are looking at. In fact, the department and I have discussed on whether they should not perhaps get a formal legal opinion on that. It is something I think that is important for the committee. I think it's worthwhile to perhaps get some formal legal advice on that issue of retrospectivity. But in order to do that, I know that we're now reporting back when the committee discussed, we need to just have some options, because council will have to look at those options to determine where we are with constitutionality and retrospectivity.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Chair. We come to Section 7, Capital Letter B3A, A question was raised to whether a person eligible for the reserve royalty right, even if that person is not legally residing legally in the country. Yeah. I don't want to explain it, you'll understand legally.
directors and rules in the sense of the jury, honorable marshal, jurisdiction. Yeah. So I think that's what we were struggling with there. Then the department responded that an illegal activity cannot entitle a person to this right. A person should first correct their status in order to be accommodated on this one. You should be naturalized. I don't know what about that. A member question on the importance of complying with the international law as well as take into consideration that some people are here in the country as refugees. They may be made to narrow exclusion. Then the committee agreed that a person should be legal a resident, provided that the concern of international is taken into account. So the advocate would explain that international confinement.
Thank you. So what we are just saying here is, because if we look at the clause itself, this reasonable royalty right is not available to anyone globally. It is only made available to South African citizens. So it is a limited right already. But then it is also added to say if you are legally resident. You might not be a citizen, but if you're legally resident, then you would have that. So unfortunately the bill just says resident, not legally. So we'll have to just make sure that the word legally is added there and make sure that they might, I almost think that legally resident will cover refugees, but I think we need to just make sure of that, because you can be an illegal refugee as well. So I think that if you are a legal refugee, you will be legally resident. I think it is covered, but we will just, from a drafting point of view, confirm that we have the right terminology. Because the issue of the international was about a refugee that might not have a residence permit, but is here on refugee status.
Section 70.2b. Clarity given that IPPSA is not operational, process proposed a transitional provision. The subcommittee agreed on the need for the transitional provision, given that the terms and practice used in this bill that refer to the intellectual property law amendment to 2018 Act 28 of 2039, subject to commencement of this amendment act. Currently, it's not operational, the bill. So that's the status check. Advocate.
Thank you, Jay. The committee also on this one requested some feedback on why or where we are in the process of getting this Intellectual Property Laws Amendment Act operational. But the currently, we need to have those terms and phrases in the amendment bill that is before the committee, because this IP Laws Amendment Act is an act on the statute book. We cannot ignore it. The problem, however, is if you use this phrase, there's no definition for it, because the act that introduces the phrase is not operational. So we just need transitional provisions. So something to the effect of saying these terms and phrases will only be of effect once this act comes into operation.
Just on that point, I have already requested a clarification from the minister on that, so that before we conclude with this word, we know where we stand. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Clause letter, section 9, capital letter 8, 10, 8, capital letter 8, this clause relates to the royalties for the sound recording. The concern raised here was in respect of the cumbersome process and rights given to protesters, difficult to propose terms and conditions in respect of payment of royalties. Here, the subcommittee agreed they need, there was a proposal that was made on terms and conditions that should be effected and section should be worded properly on the issue of contract. However, given that the whole process is so cumbersome and as a real mischief here in the fact that broadcasters are all paying royalties by not keeping proper records. Remember the little time and so the subcommittee agreed that the expert should be asked to assist on a better process. The subcommittee requested to be during the This is very broad, but was narrowed it, and we said the legal expert should come on board and assist on the current legislation which is in place, and the CIPC on their records on how do the filing, on how do they pay, and how is the records filing. That's what is a concern also. So, but the advocate can finalize. Done, Madam.
Yes, Chair, just if I may, this is now the issues that were flagged during the last portfolio committee. So they were considered. There are tasks and actions around all of these points. But the subcommittee has also considered other aspects in how to proceed with this bill. And the proposal that is made by the subcommittee is that the committee members will recall there was a large portfolio committee. We had a number of documents with lots of colours, so colourful that we didn't know where we were. But all of those documents actually do is just that there is a concern from the department side about the broad application of the bill that is before this committee. So the subcommittee agreed that looking at those two documents is very confusing. The department needs to bring them together in a presentation to this portfolio committee so that we can understand, so the portfolio committee can understand what the approaches are. Because the department is saying that the bill is too broad, we need to only go with the recommendations of the Farlam committee. Now, they need to explain to the portfolio committee why and what that entails. Then there was also a concern during the discussions with Farlam that does not include things like disability, you know, the provision for disabled people and so on. And then the department must have a second proposal to say Farlam and this one thingy, and this is then what we'll need. So the department needs to do a presentation to this committee that explains those approaches. And then there are also specific policy discussions that still have to take place on various clauses. So the department must, while they're doing this presentation, to explain these two approaches, also discuss those policy considerations. Because then the portfolio committee or the subcommittee can address these policy issues starting from the beginning of the bill. In other words, I want to call it clause by clause, but it's not the same as voting. It is just to address the policy issues in the clauses as they make sense, and we can start maybe from page one so that it's just a logical flow. Because the thing is just that the committee has heard the public on every clause. So the committee cannot simply say, oh, no, okay, we're not going to accept clauses 5, 6, and 7. The committee needs to see what clause 5 deals with and understand, okay, if we follow the Farlam approach, this falls out. And yes, we agree that it can go to a second phase. So just to give it a little bit of logic, the proposal from the subcommittee is that we start kind of from phase, I will actually say that we should skip definitions because that kind of is a last point anyway, but from close to, if there's policy things, look at that, if it's affected by Farlam, go from there. Jess was also a proposal, but I think that has been handed out for members who have maybe not been here from the start, to just get the training slides on the intellectual property laws. Because the committee had a training session, but I think that was in 2016 almost. So that, I believe, has been handed out. But perhaps if members want more, then we can look at maybe re-presenting a slide or something on that. Thank you.
Honorable Teko has done is that she really represented what transpired in the subcommittee. What I appeal for is that let the PC adopt this, that it takes it as it is, so that we can release the department to go and do the work which they are supposed to be doing. Thank you, Chair.
Chair. I think we should just congratulate the chair of the subcommittee and the team that was being supportive. They've done a good job because that method of work, saving time, there's a level of focus. I would agree with Honorable Adebe that let's adopt this report presented by the subcommittee. That further work must be actually on the other contested issues like the team has presented.
Yeah.
The subcommittee must now tie those ones up. But on these ones, where the subcommittee never finalized them, there's been a process issue. Let's in the next meeting that these issues must be clarified. For an example, the issue raised on clause 5, section 6A, we can't be talking about options. This is not about options. It's just a matter of legality. The legal team says this is a legal opinion. How does it affect the Act and the problem we're trying to solve? You full stop. Don't come with options. I'm happy with this section that deals with the issues on section 7B3A, Roman figure 1. But even then, let's not try to give a legislation that is not specific. When it comes to issues of residence, refer to the principal act that talks to residents. Let's not be wishy-washy. There's a principal act that talks about residence. What is it? So people can go and do cross-reference. The last one, Chair, I think they've done a good job. There's the last one. The last one is about an issue of people being misquoted. Let's also not be opaque. Let's just be clear. Misquotation, what do you mean? You mean a statement issued. And normally in the current discourse and the legal provision, which are these institutions that normally deal with those? Also do that cross-reference. It's more about the legalities, but this is good, and I support. These are the issues. I think that let's give clear timelines to the subcommittee, and we must comment that even if it was the other members were not around, check the subcommittee, all the parties, they did not come to be available, even this morning, and it helps us to be more productive. Thank you.
Based on the floor, that all the subcommittee members were there bar one, or all of them. In fact, I do see the DA was present in that meeting. The Freedom Trust was present. It was just, I think, the IFP was present. So, quite frankly, it was really only one person who made if he wasn't right. So, you really have broken the back. You've done the work of the subcommittee as it should be done, and I think that harks back to your own experience on Autogebi when you went and chaired the subcommittee. That is what we expect you to do, and you've taken that responsibility on and produced effective work that we can just ride with. We need a decision here by the portfolio committee. It has been proposed that there are two or three of these issues, which I think the department is well aware of, having sat with you. And there was a request by the Honourable Chairco and the Honourable Global that it would be a good idea if we released you to get a move on with it once we have agreed up to this point that we accept this report, we adopt. So we've already had a proposer. Now I would have liked to have seen who was not in the subcommittee. Is there anyone here who is not in the subcommittee? It's always useful to get someone not in the subcommittee to propose it because you presented it to us.
I was not there, but this morning I attended. That's why I'm supposed to.
All right, you
proposed it. But at the very same time, looking at the quality of the work, because even the preparatory meeting in the morning that we're all here, we all actually voice our strongest support to say this method of work is not effective. And the issues, bit by bit, were able to bite the chunk.
Right. We'll take that proposal there from the ANC member in the committee, Honourable McLawball. Can we have another party who seconds it so that it's clear that this is a joint process? So we're adopting this report with the issues raised for further work that has to come back to the committee. Do we agree on that, Honourable Kacharya? Thank you very much. So, there we are, your colleagues here on the committee, Honourable Chiapo, have endorsed your good work, and I thank you very, very much. I know just how hard that work is in a subcommittee. Most of us who've chaired that can tell you. It's back-breaking to bring something here where we don't argue and argue and debate and deliberate. We're moving forward. Thank you very much. And I understand that these experts will be having a look when, though. Let's look at the timeline. Who's got the timeline for the experts?
Advocate, I requested that you send a letter to the medical experts so that they must indicate their availability.
Chair, I have sent it to them. I've indicated the request is for today, but they have not given me the feedback, the final answer. I know that there was correspondence, so they have accepted the brief, but they have not told us by when we can expect it.
Well, that's really not acceptable. Honourable, for Debbie, then the Honourable and Floorball. Must go on.
The thing is, Chairperson, I understand that when I heard last week that the experts are doing pro bono work on this issue, which is understandable, but then the Parliament has got a large span, a limited time to work upon. But I think that the issue of the time factor must be filtered in, so that if necessary, we might be saving by allowing them to do pro bono work, but if they are not going to deliver on time, then we are going to have a serious problem because we might end up not having an act at the MCT. So I think that I really appeal to the advocate that by next week let them give the report back so that when we take up, that's why that one of the things we need is to come up with a program when we want to conclude this thing so that they are able to have realistic targets that by this time when we refer something to them, they must respond by that time because if they fail that, I think that we have to go for another option of getting the people who have to pay for that. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, well, it's very important we do exactly that, Honourable McCormall.
No, thanks, Chair. I think Honourable Comrade has raised the matter. I do have the difficulty of waiting on an important matter of national importance using pro bono. I think whatever system we use, we have to get a proper contracting, pay people, they make time available for us. Because pro bono by its own definition, and they are waiting at a risk. I heard it in the morning in the subcommittee, I said that's a problem. And I'm just going to request that the matter gets escalated. We can't discuss one and the same matter. You know, Chair, that this matter is coming over a long period.
Exactly.
And because of the seriousness of this matter, even if the resources are so limited, or we do cost-sharing, because some of the issues might not expect you must also have very clear terms of reference and scope. They can't be involved in everything that our legal counsel, with the counsels of the various departments, they can be able to close certain issues. But I thought I was going to raise that matter that I don't agree with the pro bono approach. Mm-hmm. Let's look at an effective way so that we can dispense with this item.
The way I understood this is well, there's absolutely no fund available in the previous financial year. That was not even a debate. And what I understood from yourself, Mr. Herman, was that matters may become more flexible in the second, you know, when the financial year opens in April. So, is that indeed the case? Because we cannot wait and wait. We had no choice in the last financial year. We do have a choice now.
Chair, it's depending on the committee. The committee decided we need to request legal opinion and the willing to pay for it. We must make an application to the House Chairperson and await his response to that request. And then we go from there. So it depends on the committee, and the committee must identify which persons would like to advise the committee, and then we can request the costing and then submitting application to the hardship as well.
Right, look, I'll tell you what, I think
if we know that route as well, I can just say that.
You know, this is on my, yeah, me actually, not the mic. The challenge we face when we start doing a submission, requesting payment for something, that in itself requires 3 weeks. So, you know, we're between the devil and the deep blue sea. But what we can do is approach them, I shall approach both of them, indicating that this is the amount of work we want. And if they really can't deliver under the current arrangement, please can they tell me so we can try and do something. But I'll be frank with them that our processes do take time here in Parliament, and we had really hoped that by virtue of the fact a lot of academics and people in this field appreciate having their names linked to an important piece of legislation which they believe has, you know, they have contributed to. So I am going to approach them, Honourable Kierker, I will approach them both and request when would be the next opportunity they would have to come here. When have we not even offered to pay their what do you call it, expenditure, transport, Mr. Herman?
Based on the decision last time, we did not offer the, they were willing to travel to, but both of them are at UCT and they were willing to travel. So nobody is flying in from any other province. So they're both based at UCT and they do indicate that they require any financial assistance to travel from UCT to Parliament.
Right. It may be that it's just a glitch in things, so let us not belabor the point here. The decision is taken. I will call them personally and engage and come back to you, Honourable Kierko. I'll come back to the whip directly and you can communicate, Honourable Kierko, with your people who assisted. Let's leave it there, I think, for the moment. Can we? We then have dealt with this issue. With one exception, I only heard that the department had also brought along with them the Department of Arts and Culture. Is that right, Dr. Masorcha? And very wise. And I don't have their names. If you would just indicate who they are, because I would like to extend my appreciation to you for your attendance at this meeting.
Thank you, Chair. We have Mr. Zolake Mbavi and Ms. Cleo Noah.
Right, Ms. Cleo.
Or Noah. Is it Cleo or Noah? Right. So Mr.
Mbiba, is it? Or Mbiba? Mbiba.
So Mbiba Zolake.
Yeah, really.
Arts and Culture. Thank you very much for coming. I think we will, through the DDG of Trade and Industry, keep the department informed, and you will keep the Portfolio Committee informed. Is that right? Fine. Once again, on record, thank you to yourself, Honourable Kierko, but all members of the subcommittee for availing yourselves during a very busy time. Thank you. We then... I look at the time, it's 11:24 or so. There has the so-called team arrived. I know that there are many other engagements going on, and it had been my intention to give you a definite tea break, but that doesn't seem possible. The tea is not here yet. So may I ask those who wish to leave at this point, so that we can move on to Honourable Kierko.
Thanks, Chair. Then we will have to, as a committee, subcommittee, request that also the Department of Arts and Culture work hand in hand with the Department
also, if they are not in agreement with what the department is proposing, then they'll come to the subcommittee and present it. So we take a decision as a subcommittee to come and present to the committee. So they will have their time to come and present whatever they are not in agreement here today. They'll come and present it to the subcommittee, and then we'll take it back to the PC in the next meeting. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, I think it was going to be constructive, but we just have a 2-minute adjournment because this is my first day back after a couple of weeks. Honourable Kadele, could you just come here for a minute, please?
Thank you. Thank you.
on the issues to include in the bill and to flag issues of concerns in the bill, and also to present the proposed approach to some of the clauses. What I want to emphasize as a department, given the different issues that were raised by the stakeholders and the copyright holders and different inputs that we received in the public hearings, is to highlight that even though this presentation is going to talk more on the CRC report, the commission report or the Falun report, I want to emphasize that as a department we care and we are concerned about issues that are impacting on our creators in this country. We are concerned that our people have not made income and a livelihood from their creative pursuits. We are concerned about the injustices that are still taking place in the industry, affecting them at different levels. And when I say this, I'm talking about authors, I'm talking about artists, photographers, and everybody. So just because I'll be talking to the Falun, it does not mean that other stakeholders in the copyright-based industries are not important. And it is concerning that these challenges are still there, and the copyright bill, the amendment bill, is a very good opportunity for government and parliament to do something to address the plight of our people and to address these abuses that have been there for many years. So what has happened is that given the outcomes of the hearings in parliament and the issues that were raised, and we realized that there is more work that still needs to be done. There are issues that still need clarity that we haven't really reached. For instance, the issue of fair use. Fair use is an important concept in copyright. However, when you talk to different stakeholders, you realize that there are competing views and tensions. For example, if you take someone from the libraries and the archives, fair use is something that talks to access, is important for development. When you talk to a publisher who's a literary publisher, fair use is a threat to their livelihood. So there are those competing views that we need to take into account when we discuss this issue. And we are also saying that as a department, there are other sectors that we have not deeply dealt with, the same way we have dealt with the music industry, for example. Your authors, your painters, your photographers. So there are certain sectors that we think that the more work still needs to be done to address their issues. And other issues like the private copy levy, which was not even included initially in the bill, it's one of the key issues that has been raised in the hearing and through the public comment. So with this, basically one is saying that more work still needs to be done in some of these issues. We still need debates and discussions around them. But then what are we proposing as a department? What we are saying is that we want to propose two phases to the bill. And these two phases to the bill, we want to call one of them phase one and the other one phase two. And with phase one, the emphasis is mainly on the Falun Commission and its recommendation. And we are also saying that with the exception of the issue around the blind and the visually impaired, looking at the issue of disability, we are aware that in terms of the copyright doctrines and the theoretical framework, we may need to look at how do we include the blind in this context of our legislation. And we are saying as the DTI, for now, fair use is not the option that we are proposing. We want to retain the fair dealing doctrine that is currently in the Copyright Act, given the contestation around it. We are not saying that we are not aware of the innovative nature that this doctrine brings. The fact that it's lauded around the world for bringing economic growth and development. However, we are saying that as a department, given the fact that we still need to discuss it, we still need to debate it, for now, fair use is not an option that we want to take. And we are saying we will look at fair use if we are allowed, if this approach is adopted, this proposal, that fair use can be looked into extensively also for phase two. So how we see phase two? Phase two will be a legislative process, but addressing all the issues that are not properly dealt with or in depth at the moment. To the same extent that the Falun has been dealt with. And briefly, I will touch on some of the clauses just to highlight which areas will be affected. Why phase one? I think this is one of the main questions. Why are we saying phase one? And in fact, the stakeholders that we are meeting daily, they're asking us these questions. That we've heard that in Parliament they're talking about phase one. Why are you talking about phase one? What about our client? What we are saying is that musicians and other role players in the music industry have been deprived of rights for many years. And they have been deprived of economic benefits and protection of their copyright work. In 2009, the president met with the artists, the musicians, and their issues were highlighted. However, these issues remain critical even today.